for the development of the study that's going to be presented as well as the model. So I'm here to describe the analytic model of media and sexual behavior. As I said, it was developed from a study that we're currently in version 2 of, but I'll give you a little bit of background about the study as well as how we came to the development of the model itself. I have no relationships to disclose. Also, we just want to quickly acknowledge University of South Florida, the College of Nursing, Moffitt Cancer Center, the College of Public Health, all of our study participants. We had a wonderful team of volunteers, Dr. Blunt and Deandra Latibolier. iEmotions, they were a company that we contracted with, but again, we're not endorsing them, Sigma Theta Tau and APHA. So we want to open up with a video, and some of you may find it offensive. However, we feel that it speaks specifically to our topic of interest, which is hip-hop and R&B videos, and how they are, what relationship they may have in terms of sexual development. And so we'll start with the video. I'll play a few seconds. So we'll stop with that. And we want to thank you guys for sitting in on that, because we feel that music is, you know, people identify various different ways with music, and there's different things that are expressed in music, and there's different reasons why people choose to listen to the music that they do. And there's lots of literature out there that describes, specifically in terms of our topic, looking at sexual behavior, looking at the historical perspectives of the increases in sexual behavior over time, looking at things like how sexual behavior correlates to specific sexual intentions. And but I just wanted to point out two articles that we thought might be pretty relevant in terms of exposure recall and sexual content and behavior. So those are there. But more importantly, we want to start looking at the importance of hip-hop and R&B videos. We think that, you know, regardless of how you thought or what your perception of the video that we just played, it really contains a lot of information that I think we can all sort of get learn a little bit more about the community that's being represented. It's an opportunity for cultural awareness, especially of the target populations. We know that, you know, the popularity of the video sort of dictates a lot about how what the content of the video might be. We're looking at environment. We're looking at social acceptability. But we also think that, you know, we can draw a lot of strength, and if those who are familiar with a strength-based motivation, looking at the strengths that are represented in the videos, to be able to determine exactly what those things are that we could use to improve the community, things like the creativity that's used, or the sense of community and network. We also wanted to identify changes in cultural and marketing strategies. These videos are accessible, so this is another thing that we felt was necessary that we consider in terms of our target population. Most of these explicit videos, all you need is a password, and you can access them. So how do we improve, and how do we modernize basically media-based parental guidance? How do we look at media to start to really identify these social and cultural issues that we deal with in the community in terms of the sequela of risky sexual behavior, unintended pregnancy, HIV, STDs? How do we look more closely at how we can deliver more effective public health messages? And how can we encourage community participatory research? Well, we will start with the idea of the chameleon. And so this is the study that sort of laid the groundwork for the development of the model. And when people hear the word chameleon, usually they think of this. So this is a chameleon. As you can see, most people think of a chameleon as being very adaptable, being able to modify itself to its surroundings. And so this is why the study was more aptly named the Chameleon Emotions Evoked by Music Measure. It was a pilot study that we did in 2012. And it's an innovative tool that considers the cultural changes that are reflected in music, the use of modern technology so we could capture the emotional response to music videos in real time. We wanted to consider the frequent and systematic adaptation of surveys to be able to reflect the content relevance and the popularity. And we also wanted to consider diversity and appropriateness in culture, age, and music genres. So we particularly picked music genres for the chameleon. However, the analytic model of media and sexual behavior considers all forms of media. So the pilot, we recruited 20 males and 20 African-American females from a southern university. They were between the ages of 18 and 24, and they were enrolled as a full-time or part-time students. The video that we introduced with was actually one of our pilot videos. We randomly selected 5 hip-hop and R&B videos from Billboard's Top 20, and each one of those was electronically embedded. So the video that we presented, I think that was from week one, and it was the third randomly selected video out of 5 that we electronically embedded. And we also asked the respondents to self-report their pulse, both before and after. We had a lot of qualitative research or qualitative data that was going to be coming in, but we wanted to sort of see if we could start to quantify exactly what that emotional response was. Again, the observations and concerns that we had was looking at the content, the explicitness of the content. We knew that we would probably have to improve on a controlled environment. The surveys were completed at home. We were also concerned about the reliability of the self-reported pulse. Also, I don't know if I mentioned it, but yeah, we did that for 4. We conducted the survey every week, modified it every week for 4 consecutive weeks. And also, we wanted to look more closely at the education and the social cultural norms. So from that information, we looked at grounded theory to be able to support how we wanted to continue to modify the study as well as the model. And mostly from the qualitative information that we gained from the pilot, but also a little bit from the quantitative, we devised the following constructs. So this is the first part of the model. The model is actually in 3 parts, but the first segment is what's going to be presented today, and it describes media as a catalyst for sexual motivation. So this arrow here represents the continuum of sexual behavior. On the left would be something benign like holding hands, and on the right would be something very risky like having unprotected sex. And we bring in media, and particularly in terms of the chameleon study, we bring in media as a catalyst. And we came up with the following construct domains based on categorizing some of the data. First, we have persuasive content, and you can see there's a dashed line because we're currently studying this particular model in our second version. We have persuasive content, which is looking at any stimulant that encourages product consumption, usually as a result of putting in some sort of sexual content in order to be able to improve some sort of sexual innuendo or allure in order to improve viewership. Next, we have a term that we are exploring. It's called pseudo-purism, and it's basically looking at what's that relationship between the artist. Is the artist portraying himself as someone who could be closely trusted so that if there is that degree of relationship, any sexual behavior could be transferred or shared. Next, we wanted to explore communication, and there's lots of research on sexual communication in terms of peer-to-peer or parent-to-peer in terms of the sexual being able to sort of slow that sexual progression or be able to delay the sexual onset. But we wanted to look particularly at, is the artist directly communicating how to engage or perform a sexual act? The fourth construct that we are currently exploring is sexual autonomy, looking at sexual self-efficacy based on mimicry of idealized personalities. So does the, at the end of watching the videos, does the participant feel like, oh, they are empowered to make their own sexual decisions? The fifth construct is arousal. And again, this one was actually where we wanted to really look at the pulse and sort of some other biometrics where we could really sort of assess the autonomic and physiological and also the psychological responses to the sexual content. And the sixth construct was pseudo-realism. So is this a realistic or is this a fictitious portrayal of the target's audience's cultural accepted fantasies? How close is the artist to portraying what is evident in the community? So we are currently studying this particular aspect of the model in the second version. We're actually towards our last week of data collection, and these are some excerpts from that version. We call that the Chameleon 2.0, and we're looking at questions like, does this music video or the words of the song describe how I should engage in sex? And we can ascribe that to evaluating sexual communication, or we could, another one would, for example, is, does this video make me have a physical sensation anywhere in my body, which we attribute to arousal. Okay, now I want to just sort of introduce the media explicitness measure, because this is how we are actually evaluating the sexual content. We're doing a content analysis by electronic annotation of both the lyrics and the images, and we begin to categorize each level of explicitness in a way that can be indicative of the overall sexual explicitness of the video or any other type of media. This is currently in review by an expert panel. So today we are, again, we're examining the sexual explicitness measure. We have panelists that are experts in mass communication and sexual behavior, media, youth, and pop culture. As far as the Chameleon pilot, which was the initiation of all of this, we're at the stage of data analysis and dissemination of that information. And as I explained, the Chameleon 2.0 is currently in progress, where we're evaluating the measure itself. We're also looking more closely at the biometrics, which we felt were a little underrepresented in the pilot, where we're implementing pulse oximeter and galvanic skin response. So we're looking at sexual arousal there. And we brought in eye motions, where we contracted the equipment as well as their tech support. We're using what's called an attention tool, and this is basically allows us to be able to gauge emotional response by pupil dilation and also real-time visual tracking. So for you guys that are familiar with how eye tracking has been used in marketing, we would like to begin to use that also in the public health arena more. So this is an expansion of the model. As we can see, we had the first part that we discussed, media as a catalyst for sexual motivation. And we'd also like to, future developments and future studies, we'd like to talk more about the effects of sexual motivation, on sexual intentions, and then ultimately the behavior. And then when we look at behavior, we'd like to examine it as a predictor of risky sexual behavior, and then look at those reinforcement attributes, looking at is there a positive or negative reinforcement in future sexual decision making, as well as future media selection. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you very much for listening.